hope that Hashem should give me the right words. Such an important topic. I'm not really sure why I'm the one who's selected to discuss this. What was interesting is that the point of the night is Torah perspective on. So it is a little bit different than other times in the past I've talked about dating. I thought about what is the Torah's perspective on dating. It doesn't say, I don't know, does it say the word dating anywhere in the Torah? Anybody? I mean, I found out today that there are some real Talmidei Chachamim amongst the Magdrishim that don't even know Parshas Bereishis. So I don't know. You know, maybe we're not experts in Torah. We should talk about being Kohen Torah. That would be, maybe that should come before we talk about dating. But anyway, where does it talk about love in the Torah, husband and wife? So in general, so Avram. Wait, hold on. I'm thinking. I'm having a Reb Chaim. I'm having a Reb Chaim Kanievsky moment here. Avraham. Does it say? I don't. No. Does it say Avraham and Sarah were? We do learn great lessons of Shalom Bayis from Avraham and Sarah. That's true. But I don't know if they what. So Yitzchak and Rivka is fascinating. Is a fascinating study. Here are my notes on the shiur. So I have Yitzchak and Rivka written in big and nothing written after that because I couldn't put my finger on exactly what we want to get. But anytime you need to find out Torah's perspective on anything, like for example, what does the word tov mean? That what? Tov means tamar chacham? Okay, listen. You like to know half a shas by heart, so I'm not gonna argue with you. You know, you're probably right. But for us lay people, you know, you went to a real yeshiva, so like you know deeper meanings of things. I can also say you sat in the right seat. Well, that was fast. That's like fitzis aderech. What does the word tov mean? Okay, it's not a trick question, everybody. Okay, it is a trick question. I'm just joking. But we all agree on saying Tov is good. Tov can't mean good. How do I know Tov can't mean good? Because the first time that Tov shows up in the Torah is? Right, Hashem looked at the or. Right, what's or? No, or is not light. Right, how do we know or is not light? Elazon. How do we know or is not light? Because the sun's not created until day four. So how could it be that or is? How could it be that or is the excellent Belzon? He's a real Talmud Chacham. Right? How could it be that? There's no light yet. So or, by the way, you can think about this. This is a real point. The Torah I'm joking around a little bit about, but this is real. Or what was created on day one is not light. Or is or. Okay, it's like tefillin doesn't mean phylacteries because phylacteries doesn't mean anything. The translation of tefillin is tefillin. So the translation of or is or. The translation of tov can't be good because you don't say that Vayar Elokim es or ki tov. That Hashem created the or and then he was like surprised, like, ooh, look what I did. Well, that's good stuff. Right? Right? Tov is not stuff either. Okay, don't misunderstand. So tov means tov. You can translate it and figure out what it means based on the context. And or means or. The first time that we ever see any interaction between a man and a woman is, of course, Adam and Chava. How does the Torah describe the relationship between Adam and Chava? Oh, now we're talking. I figured that once we start, when it comes to my Sabratius, now we don't really know. When it comes to Adam and, you know, Adam and what happened, we start talking about girls. Then all of a sudden, now we're Bekiyim. Right? The Pasuk says, V'adam yada es Chavishto. In my humble opinion, this statement, this line, the Adam Yada Schavishto, that is, it's a key in terms of relationships, and therefore, because it's a key in relationships, it's a key to our life. What happened? What does it mean, Adam Yada Schavishto? If we want to loosely translate it, it's an Adam loved Chava. But that doesn't, we know that the Hebrew word for love, and this does show up in the Torah at some point, is Ava. So why didn't it say that Adam Ahav Chavishto? Because the Torah is telling us, love doesn't really have a definition. I don't know if you look at Webster's Dictionary, somebody could Google for me afterwards. You know, what's the definition of love? It's really, I'm not really sure what the definition of love is. Reb Chaim Volozhin in Ruach Chaim, so he says, this is a great Sheva Brachos for it. You can write this down, you can use it over a million times. I got this from a Chavrus of Seth Poliner. So he showed me that Reb Chaim Volozhin says that, you know what, that when you say, Sameach Tesamach Reyim Ahuvim, so that love is, as opposed to the Pasuk in Mishlei, which says, be careful how much time you're spending in somebody else's house. You know, go visit your friend's house, but don't overstay your welcome, because then that's when bad things start to happen. So as opposed to that, Reyim Ahuvim, you know that you're in love with somebody if every moment that you want to spend with them, it just makes you want to spend more time with them. Psst. Sick. All right, now you guys are good to go. So Ava doesn't really, that's somewhat of a definition, but Ava doesn't really have a definition. But what's the Torah's definition? What's the Torah's perspective of love is Yada. In my very little experience, I don't claim to be an expert in any kind of way. My wife did set up Zusha with his wife. We have other celebrity shidduch, so when we call you and you want to be like, well, annoying, and be like, well, I don't know. So just know, like, you know, the people in Hollywood, they call us, to get their shidduch. So if you want to marry somebody who's regular, go with whatever shotgun you want. But if you want to marry somebody who's like huge, you know, big time, so you know the what?
Amari's next.
Amari's complicated. We're trying to work with him, but you know, it's not simple for many reasons. Anyway. People are like, too often, and guys are worse than girls in this, too often the question becomes, you know, well, am I having a good time or not having a good time? Because what we believe in, and it should be, this is true, we believe in, you should get up here and, no? That we believe that when I get married, I should be in a better state of life than I am now. I should be happier. And you should be. You should be happier. I'm not denying that. But we misinterpret and we think that it has to do with whether I'm having a good time or not. Like, is it exciting? Is it exciting to go out? Are we like having a blast? You know, are we always like laughing and making jokes and, you know, and that's all important. But good time. Okay, I hope I'm not like bursting anybody's bubble over here. You know, good time, and you should, by the way, China Rishona, travel as much as you can. Because then all of a sudden you start having kids, and airfare is very expensive, and if you want to go to like, you know, to China or to Italy, and you want to like see like Rav Shimshon Fall Hirsch, you want to, only L'Shem Shemayim, you want to see Hashem's great world. So then all of a sudden, then you have to like start paying multiple tickets. It's not worth it. So go in China Rishona. It'll be, you know, it's really great. You know, we think like, you know, we're having a blessed, we're having a good, and you should be blessed with having a good time your whole life. But the good time, you know, that good time lasts a year, two, maybe three. But then the most important thing in your life happens, and that's when you start having children. And really, what should matter is, are my children? Rav Twersky is so obvious. Rav Twersky was the one who articulated this to us. When we were young and married, and it was early, you know, way back years of the Kollel. So we asked Rav Twersky for Shalom Bayis advice, and he had Chinuch advice, and he said, just know that any decision that you make in your life, you have to ask yourself, how's that going to affect your children? Because even though right now we might have, we might think that item X or item Y, that that's so important in my life, we might think that that's so critical, but really at the end of the day, how your children are going to grow up. How our children are going to grow up. What are the priorities and the values that they have in the house? And how are we going to support them and build them to allow them to be the best people that they could be? That is going to become the most important thing. So even though having a good time is really critical, what's the most critical, and if somebody, you know, in a different time, we could talk about how do you look for this, but the most critical is going to be, who's going to be the best mother for my children? And if I could say it a little bit better and a little bit sharper, what's the most critical is, who's the most compatible partner that I could have? Who's going to be the best teammate that I could have? because it's only through this team that's going to allow my children to grow up to be as great as they could be. Well, how does that happen? How do you become, or what's the goal? What are we shooting for in being a great teammate? How well can we really know a spouse? The more that we know them, so then the better off that we're going to be. So this has a few nafkaminos, a few applications. First of all, application number one is conversation. So I'm sure, even though this, the reason to be sure Shomer Negiya is because that's what the halacha says that we have to do. And I just want to say, because this is, you know, we don't often get this forum, that it could be that when you're at this age, it could be that and you haven't really dated yet, for those who haven't really dated, it could be that you're like, oh, of course you're Shomer Negiya. That's what we talk about. That's what I'm telling all the guys in my chabura, and you know, and all the guys with it. And I got to break them up, because how are they going to go out for 6 years and follow the halacha and yichud and all that? And of course, that's right and that's wrong. When things get complicated because you meet somebody who you have strong feelings for, so it's when I was growing up, it was taboo. That we didn't speak to our rabbis about what was going on with our girlfriends, and I'm sure that I did a lot of damage to my life and to my relationship, because I didn't seek out that guidance. I was too afraid of being vulnerable and letting a rebbe know that maybe I wasn't as perfect as I could be, and that there's such a thing as nichshol. So Hashem should give everybody all the kof that they need to not be nichshol, but in case you might be the one or two or three or everybody that is going to struggle with something like this. So at that time, so you know, I'm just putting it out there. You know, be selective about who your rebbe is, and know that you're in a safe space. But if you know, if you're in that position that every Shmon Esrei of Slach Lanu, you know, is like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm saying Slach Lanu again, and it's like, so no, okay, you know, you're not alone, and you should. You should be able to speak to people who can help you about that. Speaking it out might actually be the most valuable tool that you could use. But what's the point? What's the point of the halacha, which is not in the Torah, by the way. So nobody go around and tell you guys in your chabura that Shomer Negiya is you know, is written in the Torah. It doesn't say Negiya anywhere. You know, maybe if like your Esha Torah, you could find that like every 14th letter of the. You know, so then maybe backwards it spells Negiya. I don't know. But you know, we love Esha Torah. I'm not saying my wife is you know, the worst for Esha Torah. So, but the Iker's got to be Vadam Yadas Chavishna. So what? This is also, by the way, this is the point. This is for sure the point of Taras Hamishpacha. Right? Why do we have such a crazy thing that two weeks a month, so that there's no physical contact? And by the way, the way that don't, you know, have no doubt, Hashem's going to work it out that the worst times of the month, you know, the times that a hug will be the easiest way to cover over any issues, any problems that we're having. Those are always going to happen during those 2 weeks. So why is there such an idea? Because Chazal are forcing us, the Torah is forcing us to actually have to have a conversation with people. And it's such like an incredible, an unbelievable notion. Now, many times as guys, we want to be, you know, we don't want to be vulnerable. And, you know, we want to build a wall around ourselves, and we have to show the bravado of that. You know, I'm solid. I don't cry, and I don't have issues, and I, you know, I'm following everything in the way it's supposed to be, and I'm just doing. But another chassan. But you know, so we're you know, we're the greatest thing that you could do, and it starts from day one when you go out. The greatest thing that you could do is to be open and vulnerable in a conversation. I don't mean that you have to spill your guts on a first date. That's a bad thing to do. You build in the relationship, and you decide what you want to share, what you don't want to share, and that deepens the relationship. But just know that as much guard and as much wall as I'm going to put up, so I'm defining what that relationship ends up being. I'm defining how close we're going to be. Yeah, fine. Be safe. Be, you know, don't admit anything's wrong. Don't share and don't be vulnerable. That's fine. But just know that we've now defined how close our wives and we are going to end up being. I think also that's the pshat in the what's going on in the chuppah. is that why does the kala walk around the chasen 7 times in the under the chuppah? Because this is what we saw that happens by Yericho, is that when Bnei Yisrael walked around 7 times, the walls fell. So the kala walks around 7 times because the hope and the prayer is that in this marriage the walls are going to come down and we're going to be one. Somebody wrote to us, I remember, it was so impressionable for me, that somebody wrote on the wedding present card. By the way, that used to be a thing. Right? We used to write cards, like when you wrote a present. Now, I guess you just click on the registry who's from. I don't know what we do now. But he wrote on the card. He wrote, "My greatest bracha to you is that 1 + 1 can equal 1. That the goal is to be as one as you could possibly be. But the only way that you can know, the only way that you could be as close as you could possibly be is v'adam yada. If you're gonna know. So how do we know somebody? We don't know somebody from hugging them, we don't know somebody from kissing them, we don't know somebody from touching them. We know somebody because we talk. We have conversation. So that's gotta be the goal. The goal's gotta be yada. And in terms of how does that happen? So here's a practical dating tip. Is that when you are when you're going out, so everything's gotta be focused on the girl. Meaning, there are some guys, again, nobody here, I'm just talking. There's some guys that like to fill the air with accomplishments and achievements. Well, so listen to what I did. I first went to MTA and I was in the top tier. And then I played on the basketball team. And we won the championship in Madison Square Garden. That's true, by the way. I just went on T4. I put it in. And the garden floor stinks, by the way. It's not, the ice from the dumb Rangers. Who needs the Rangers? Anyway, and then I went to Shalavim. I could have been a madrich on this program. I didn't go to Shalavim, though. I don't know. Russia. Yes, it's hard to believe that I'm from. And maybe I'm not from. I graduated YU with whatever honors are in YU, and I got into medical school, and then I opted instead for smicha, and on about all the things, that we've done in life. Because first of all, after all, she has to know me also, right? So I'm sharing all the things about me, so we can get it all out on the table. Okay, that you might as well don't even bother calling back to Shachan after that. You'll be finished. Okay, but Adam yada eschava ishto is the pasuk. Is that Adam had to know Chava. So what does that mean? That when something comes up, especially on the first few dates, but even it's a good habit to be in, even for long term, is that whatever the conversation's about, so then always reflect it back on finding out something about her. Keep the attention on her. Girls want to know, does this guy really care about me? Or is it just, is he too egotistical and is all really going to be about himself? I see some people smiling now. You'll see it's not as pushy as you think. But that means that as the conversation is going on, so whatever might come up, a great rabbi once told me when we were discussing this, it could even be so silly as that if she makes a comment about the weather, so you say to her, like, oh, so what weather do you really like? What's your favorite? What's your favorite type of weather? Whatever it might be, whatever's happening, try to reflect the conversation back to find out something about her. What are her dreams? What are her hopes? What are her values? What does she love? What's she afraid of? What's her goal? Whatever it might be. Always try to shift it to that. There's a fundamental difference between guys and girls. Guys can have other things going on. We're married, and we love our wives fully with 100% of our heart. But at the same time, I also go to Minyan, and I also go to work, and all sorts of things that I could be involved in, all sorts of things that I do. For a woman, everything in her life becomes everything in her life. So she wants to know how safe place or how focused and how important is everybody else who's participating in that. How much value do they put into the fact that everything is the home for me? If I could be so blunt, I know we're being recorded, but it also has to do with what happens biologically when a husband and a wife are together. when they're together, the husband doesn't really change so much. So, you know, his life is still really the same, so he could love his wife and also be involved in all the same things. But a woman is forever changed. So if it's forever changed, so that means that whatever she's now invested in what's happening here, so then that means that this is everything to her. Maybe she works, but work is tangential. Because really what the ikar is going to be is the whole. And she's going to want to measure, wait a second. So if that's what I'm investing in, and that's what the ikar is for me, and I'm all in, so we all know how frustrating it is. If let's say I'm all in on something, and the person that's supposed to be all in with me, so then they're not really all in. Right? It's so crazy, it kills us. Right? So if she's going to be all in, so we also have to be all in. So all in means yada. I have to converse. I have to talk. I have to be willing to share. I have to understand what it means to create a safe space that she's able to say what she needs to say, and that I'm able to say what I'm able to say, not in an offensive way, not in an antagonistic way. But how are we together going to become 1 + 1 = 1? So then that team could build the best home that we could have. So when you're on the date, so we got that's got to be the focus. Is to get to know her. Just some other points, you know, just some other to-do list points that I just want to throw out because we're running out of time. Very important is v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Is v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha certainly for the girl that we're going out with, and is v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha also for the people who are trying to listen. There are some people that think that you make a lot of money when you make a shidduch, so in order to feed your children, you're like, well, let me just see. Let me find a guy and a girl so I can set them up, and then maybe we can supplement our parnasa. So I'm not talking about those kinds of people, you know, as well as I may know that. I'm not talking about those kinds of people. I'm talking about, you know, there are people who legitimately, you know, when the Gemara in Shabbos says, one of the questions that we're asked when we get to Shemayim, along with Tzipisa Yeshua and along with Kavati Tzema Torah, so one of them was, or is, Masakta Piri of Rivia. So on the one hand, you'd be like, well, I've got a whole lot of kids. Check. That's not what it's about. Right? The same way that Kavat Yitim Torah is every day and Tzipis of Yeshua is every day. So a Sakta period of Riv has got to be something that we're doing every day. How do you do it every day? So the Marsha says that it means that were you involved in setting people up so that they could be kind of mitzvah of period of Riv here. So we're talking about people who are L'Shem Shemayim are trying to help you. Trying to have the world be a better place. So there's a lot of derech eretz that's involved and that we got to keep in mind. And again, for those who haven't dated, this is going to sound silly, but you'll see that it becomes a little bit challenging, especially a guy who's a madrich and ntsias vaykola. And you know how long the list is for people who want to go out with a madrich and ntsias vaykola. Now sometimes people complain, how come we don't pay the madrich? You should pay me. You know what you're getting for being here. Anyway, but what ends up happening is that there's an issue, is that because there are so many options, so then we don't get back to people. You know, we don't. If somebody gives us an idea, so there are some people out there they don't respond at all. That's real rishos. You know, I daven that those kinds of people go to Gehenna. So don't be that guy. But it's bad derech eretz. Respond. If you have no plan of going out, so don't be like, okay, let me look into it and I'll see. Don't do that. Just say, listen, I have something else going on. I so much appreciate that you offer it, that you're thinking about me. But I got something else happening. When it comes to the girls, so we got to be considerate about what's happening on the date, which is unguy-like. We have to think about things like, okay, wait a second. If it's if we're going to Tiberia and it's like 197 degrees, and you know, so maybe that's not the best time to just to walk around the Tayelet and certainly not offer it a drink. But we got to think about like what you know. Am I going to a place that's going to? I know somebody. She was a girl who was a matricha in one of the seminaries here, and she was that's the age of dating, and it's a little bit awkward sometimes that. They go out. Let's say they're in town. Of course, in the holy seminaries, nobody's ever in town. Of course, it's my great great grandmother's fourth cousin's dog is taking me out to dinner. So I have dinner, but it's uncomfortable sometimes. When we we got to think about like where we're going. Is it going to be in a situation? Am I putting her into a situation that might end up being that's a violation of Yahav Torah HaGamocha? None of us like being in uncomfortable situations. Masha Sanoi Alecha Lo Sasel Chaverecha. That's a deraisa. Like, you know, the things that I'm saying, the things that I'm talking about, or the places that I'm going. Here's a big one. Okay, everybody write this down. So yeah, bold. Okay, caps lock. Ready? Okay. Is that if you say yes, Amir Hashem, why don't you say yes to a girl? So usually what happens is, I don't know, maybe modern technology has changed things a little bit. When you say yes to going out with somebody, and you know, and she says yes, of course, so that you got to call right away. Like some people, that you know, the girl treats this as like a, and you should treat it also as something of real value. So she's gonna be sitting by the phone and waiting. So any amount of time that we make, but you know, your child might be the Mashiach. So any amount of time that we make her wait, you're making the mother of the Mashiach wait. You know, sit by a phone. That's not a place that you want to. Not a place that you want to be. You for sure need to make contact within 24 hours. And I don't mean to give you anybody muster. I'm sure some people, most of us haven't even started dating yet. I'm just telling you, this is the frustration comes from guys who, when they have long lists. So it's a very hard place to keep humility. So they'll be, whatever, I'll call when I get around to it. No, there's somebody else who's involved here. So we have to be incredibly sensitive to what their feelings are. Okay, one last point on the to-do list, because we have to end. And that is when we should start dating. So this is a great question. I don't know, somebody said to me the other day that the age has been dropping. That people are getting are starting to date younger. I don't know. Look who's here in the dating. You're at the dating thing. So it's young. So I don't know. What happens to some people? Again, if it's not applicable to you, it's not applicable to you. So. But a lot of guys, and in my last year I was talking about why this is a positive thing, and it is a positive thing. We want to learn. Okay, whether you like it or not, no matter how you want to slice this, and everybody's different, everybody's got different feelings, but these are your years. These are your years to be Kona Torah. Like, you don't have responsibilities, you don't know what it's like to pay bills. Okay, bills are really evil, and they're really hard. And it's rough, especially, you know, not especially if you know what the chinuch, because of course chinuch pays, you know, pays so much money. You know, that are we really recording? Okay, anyway, these are years to learn. You know, you could. You know, now I heard of guys. This is so crazy. I wish I would have been so smart. I wasn't this smart when I was in YU. But there are guys who like work out their YU schedule. Like, they have 3 sedarim a day: morning seder, afternoon seder, and night seder. That's awesome. By the way, just for the record, I think that if you go to college, you have a chiyuv deraisa to get an A. Okay, maybe that's for a different time. So if we shouldn't just get by. We have to excel in everything that we do. These are years to learn. So sometimes people might say, okay, so I'm going to wait and wait and wait, because there's going to be a long list anyway. So I'll wait until... So I'll give you a heads up. Okay, that going back to a point that we made before. And that is, the longer that you are single, so life gets really good. Like, you know, you don't have to answer to anybody. Your parents finally got the point that they should stop asking you where you're going. You know, and they take whatever bit of, okay, how was your day? Fine. I'm just going to the refrigerator and stealing all your food, and then I'm walking out of here and going back to college. Oh, mom, here's my laundry. I'm going to be back on Tuesday night, so, you know, and then, you know, otherwise there wouldn't be any conversation with parents. So things are good. So parents, you know, they stop asking, and you're living, you know, in Landers, in Queens, you're living in the Heights, you're living in Baltimore, wherever it is, and you go and you come as you please, and you know, nobody really tells you what to do, and you don't really have so many responsibilities, and all you got to do is sit in the base medrash and hop around and learn a little bit. And it's really awesome. And then what ends up happening is, you know, because this Va'adam Yad Eschav Eshto is not simple, and if there's, we know that growth only happens from challenge. And when you're trying to understand a different person who's like a totally, who's a different gender and a different, totally different makeup. We're trying to understand them and be one with them. So there's a lot of rocky moments that happen before marriage, after marriage. Things are not simple as we make somebody else a part of our lives. So then here I am, and I'm in yeshiva, and I'm thinking things are so great, and then all of a sudden now I have to. Well, you know, she calls me at 2:00 in the morning crying because. You know, and you're like, oh, wow, that sounds so painful. You know, and is it really? Do I have to deal with that now? Like, this must not be the right thing, because I don't want to, I can't stand this, and I can't tolerate it. So the longer that we go, that we're single, and the more that we become entrenched in a life that's really so good, so the more challenging it becomes to welcome somebody else in. So what's the right time? So for everybody, it's different. You gotta speak to your mentors, you gotta speak to your rebbe, speak to whoever you want about what the right time is for you specifically. But a heads up is that learning is great. I am all for learning, I'm all for being Kohen Torah, but just keep in mind that while you're doing that life is not that, real life is not that single life. Real life is not that fun. That life, the reason why it's so good is because you don't have responsibility. It's not because it's actually good. So you just have to remember that when we do date, and when conflict does show up, and rough times do hit, so then it's not all of a sudden like, well, it's not for me, this must not be right. No, we got to work through things. And the way that we work through them is conversation and talk it out. And here's a dirty word these days. Commitment. It's to say, I'm in. I've decided that this is, you know, we're together through thick and thin. I'll end with a little bit over time, but with a little bit of Torah. I'm not sure that this is true. It's being recorded, so whatever. I'm going to get a lot of flack for this on the. I take the Gemara Kedushin very seriously. The Gemara says that 40 days before a child is born, so a Baskol comes out and says Baskoloni Laploni. So what does that mean? That Baskol? Is that a joke? You know, God's just throwing out names. He's like, yeah, whatever. This seems like it makes sense. So the Gemara Amud Beis tells us that really what happened was. That really there was one neshama, and at some point it got split. And the reason why Hashem says, the reason why Hashem knows Bas Ploni Laploni is because this was one neshama. And the things that were, the stakes that we're talking about are so high and they're so real that if you're standing under the chuppah, Ani Mam and Bemuna Shalema, and again, Rav Shechter says differently, I know, I'm arguing with Rav Shechter, okay, whatever. I'm sure everybody has cheshbonos. I wouldn't go down with swearing this on everybody's graves. But Ani Mam is a Buddha Shalema. That a Kaddish Baruch Hu's gonna. Oh, you didn't like what I said?
No, I just wanted to
maybe
say more.
Oh, okay. So that there is only one person that you can marry. Is that when it said, when the Gemara tells us that Hashem spends his time being Meshadach Shiduchim, so the way that, what he's doing is that, let's say there could be a girl that grows up in Buffalo, New York in Silver Spring, and a guy who grows up in Staten Island, and somehow Hashem is going to orchestrate the world in such a way that they cross paths and they end up getting married. You know, sometimes it's really crazy. Sometimes it makes no sense at all. And then the best way to believe, or the clearest way to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that you look at some of the marriages that are the best marriages and how they work out, and you know that, you know clearly that there's a Kaddish Baruch. So Hashem says, Bas Ploni Laploni, there was one neshama. So the only, you know, we're talking, well, when you're standing under the chuppah is a reunion of those two halves of the neshama. Okay, the mind nafkamina. There is no nafkamina really, because nobody really knows what the answer is going to be. Well, the mind nafkamina. The nafkamina is that we have a tendency to want to believe in, well, is this really right or not right? Do I know that I married the right girl? Maybe I made a mistake. And maybe it's not the right one. I make lots of mistakes. So maybe this was a mistake also. So here you know. You didn't make a mistake. If you got married, then you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is the way that Hashem wanted the world to be. At the same time, and that requires a lot of work on both parties, on both spouses' parts. So when there gets to be a fight, and maybe even a brutal fight, and maybe even the thought of like, well, maybe I can't live like this forever, and then I want to get out. So it should give us the chizuk to, okay, wait a second, before I'm jumping out. You know, in our world, it's like, you know, well, I don't like this, so let me get rid of it. Right? Commitment, like I said, commitment is not a great word these days. But if I know that I married the other half of my neshama, so then even through the most brutal times, I'm going to do whatever it takes to say, like, okay, let's figure this out. How could it be that Hasidim, in their world, they never meet each other? Sometimes they don't even see each other. And somehow those marriages work. What happened to, I feel like, Jim Valvano? Right? Sometimes those marriages work. How does that happen? They didn't know each other. They couldn't. I didn't know what she looked like. I didn't know if we would get along. I didn't know if we. How does that work? So the reason why it works is because in their world, they know that the marriage is going to be whatever I make out of it. That if I want to invest in this team and I want to invest in this teammate, so then I'll do whatever it takes. So if I know that this is the other half of my neshama, so it might be that that we might invest more, and we might figure out more. But you'll have to figure out less if you start the dating off. If you start off with conversation and listening and hearing and wanting to be a part of, so you'll already be off in a greater place. Okay, so much more to talk about. Your son of Nevinish Rashabai Matosh Baruch, who should bless everybody with an easy time in the dating process and an even easier time through the rough engagement. And we should have the most shalom of biases so that the next generation could help us bring the Mashiach. Amen.